a special treat tonight. Miss Mia is going to come. I'm not going to let you give a testimony because you're going to share. She always has a testimony every Wednesday. So y'all go ahead and clap for Santa, clap for Mia. She is our prayer, our head intercessor, our prayer team ministry coordinator, director, I think, whatever that word is. And she has been doing an amazing job stepping in and just running for it. It's just in her blood. We just knew it was going to be a good thing. It's in her blood. Let's go ahead and pray. I'm going to pray for you, Mia, before you get started, and just thank the Lord. Father, I thank you so much for me, and I just thank you for her heart and her spirit, God. I think that you're doing awakening things in her, Lord. This is not a brand new experience for her, but you're taking her into new levels, a new grace, as dreams and visions have been pouring into her even more. I just see an acceleration of that, Father, and I just thank you that you're refreshing her in that. Lord, I thank you that there is such thing as a happy intercessor. I thank you that she carries joy, but she also carries fire. And so I thank you, Father, for every word that's going to come forth. Lord, let it become fresh to us. Lord, let there be just another nugget, something that's going to take us into a deeper realm of intercession and in prayer and in power and authority as we learn how and what really is prayer and fasting and what that means to you, God, and how we are to partner in it. Father, I ask that you help us to not think about this teaching in such a general way, Father, but I ask that you give a specific thing for each one of us. It's easy sometimes when we hear about general teaching, Father, for us to just be complacent and uncomfortable in the topic. But God, I thank you that you are releasing new revelation, new understanding, and an awakening in our spirits and how to partner with you in prayer to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And I thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, speak through Mia. We release your peace and comfort. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Here you go, dear.
So I want to know who's hungry. Raise your hand if you're hungry. Yes. Physically hungry, because, you know, the fast has started. Well, actually, I have committed myself to fast every Wednesday and Sunday. I'm not touting, but, you know, that's what I committed. And when it's public out there, and it's, you know, then I'm accountable. So I started fasting after lunch, and if anybody knows about me, I mean, Michelle was talking about food. My husband will attest to you that I eat 5, 6, 7 meals a day. I mean, I constantly, and I don't even work out. I don't know how I eat that much. You know, people are like, it's so unfair. How do you eat all the time and not gain weight? I'm like, I don't know. And even in those days that I didn't have any thyroid, I just ate and ate and ate, and, you know, I was able to kind of maintain. So I think that is truly the grace of God. And, you know, not only I'm really physically hungry, but in this place, I'm really, really, truly spiritually hungry. You know, there's just so much more of God that, you know, I cannot comprehend. I can't even comprehend why he loves me and he chose me. And, you know, I want to start with a testimony, mainly because if God can use me, you know, anybody, he can use anybody. Seriously, I mean, like, seriously. So my testimony is that it's kind of, you know, Arturo, don't be ashamed, because I am truly, if I was going to be, anybody was going to be ashamed, that's got to be me. So I'm sitting here and talking about prayer, but when I was growing up, my father was a pastor, Korean pastor, and if anybody knows about Korean pastors and Korean churches, they pray. I mean, they pray, and seriously pray. The prayers that you talk about here, it's just, you can't even compare. My dad was up every single morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he was there at church, and he was praying. And every Friday night that he prayed all night long, and at times that he went away and prayed for 39, 40 days, fasted, only water fasting, and prayed. And he would spend time praying and praying. If I saw him, he was praying. I mean, that's just, my mom, just she just sat and she prayed. I mean, that's all I saw. And she never really spoke a word to me. And maybe that's why I was a little rebellious. I don't know. But, you know, my parents really didn't talk to me. They just prayed. I think, you know, and the reason I'm here, it's the result of their prayer. I mean, otherwise, I would not be here, because I really had a tumultuous childhood and teenagehood and, you know, adulthood. And pretty much all the way up to I had an encounter with God, my life was kind of a mess, you know. Although I was high functioning, as, you know, Cindy would put it, you know, I had a career, I went to college, I went to college for 10 years, if, you know, whatever that's worth. And I had two different degrees, so, you know, I had to study all over again. And, you know, I taught myself how to speak English at the age of 20, 21. And, you know, and mainly because I was desperate. I was just desperate. But all of those things that, you know, I thought that I accomplished, but it's, you know, through the prayer, because God was positioning me into certain places. But anyway, my confession is that I never, ever once prayed. I don't have any recollection of praying until I had an encounter with God. This is seriously, absolutely the truth. I mean, I would go to church and the pastor would pray. I'll be like, okay, I'll pray. You know, they're praying. I'll pray. And that's pretty much all I did. And there was just one time I had this woman. She's like a mother to me now that my mom has passed away. And she really spoke into my life. And she would call me every single day. She had a radical, radical experience. And she would call me every single day. She called me for 6 months. And the moment she called, I was like, okay, this is going to be long. And, you know, I was polite because she was a Korean woman. You know, she was older than me. So, like, I had to respect her. So I would get a dust mop and start dusting the house because it's going to go on forever. And sometimes I paid attention, sometimes I didn't. And then she would just like go on and on and on about how glorious and mighty, powerful testimonies that she's seen and things that she has experienced, because this was new to her. She was a pastor's wife and she was a Methodist pastor's wife. And, you know, she was just the most religious, kind of stuck up, judgmental person. But she was really nice to me because I was like in crowd. So, you know, she liked me, but she did not like a lot of people. So this was like a radical, radical experience for her. So she would call me every single night. And then all of a sudden, 6 months later, I was like, oh, maybe I'm supposed to live like that. Maybe there's something to it. Maybe I started like getting like stirred up and hungry. And then I think all the while she was praying for me. And I showed up to wherever she told me to go. You know, like I never drove more than an hour a day to go anywhere. I mean, that's how lazy I was. You know, if my husband was driving me, then I wasn't going. Like, he had to drive me. I was, like, so spoiled. So I told my husband, hey, I'm going to Fort Worth. And he's like, Fort Worth? Like, you don't even drive, like, to Austin, and you want to go to Fort Worth? Yes. And this was before GPS times. And, you know, and so he was, like, a little scared for me to go. And but, you know, I've just had this, like, mission. Like, I had to be there. And I didn't even know what this was about. Kenneth Copeland, you know, it was some sort of a meeting on Kenneth Copeland. I didn't know who the guy was, but every time I mentioned their name, a lot of people looked at me funny. Like, you sure you want to go there? Like, do you know who that is? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know who it is. I don't know what it's about, but I have to go there. And they're like, okay. And so, like, the moment I showed up and God had a divine appointment and encounter for me waiting, and it had nothing to do with their ministry. It had everything to do with that my obedience to show up, and all the prearrangement was made. And this, you know, Korean woman that I've never met and seen before, it was a three and another Korean woman. You know, there's something about Koreans, right? She showed up and, you know, she did her thing. She was a full-time intercessor, and her husband was military and he passed away in war, so she had a full-time benefit, you know, the full benefit from the military. So she was able to devote her life to prayer. So she was just a prayerful woman. And when I first met her, there was some purity and holiness about her. And I was just so, like, drawn to her, not because she was attractive, but because what she carried. And, you know, we stood up to sing. And the moment I stood up, you know, she, like, first night when we met, she said, like, I feel like God is saying to connect with you. I said, okay, you know, connection is good. This is a new day, new thing. Yeah, it's fine. And I gave her my phone number, and she showed up the next day. And the moment we stood up, you know, they sing for 30 minutes, and it's like gospel songs. And, you know, that's my first experience. And I stood up, and she just tapped on my shoulder, and I went down. I mean, just went down, and I, like, was, like, flat like a board. And I was, you know, I didn't know. I was there, but I was not there. And I was in this zone. And I started, like, crying, but not weepy, but like peaceful crying. And God was doing major encounter. And my body was stiff and I couldn't, like, my body didn't even sag. And I was staggering on the chair. And the entire time I was there, but I wasn't there. Like, I was having this weird experience. And I've never been to a charismatic church, y'all. I only went to Baptist church and community church. I've never seen anything like that. But, you know, it was good. All good. You know, new time, new experience. I signed up for that. So I was there. And when that was over, she turned around and said to me, God is healing you and he's going to raise you up. I had no grit for that. I had no idea what that meant. I started Googling, what is being raised up mean? You know, I was like, I had no idea. I was like, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? I kept thinking and pondering. And then I know that it was true encounter because I had such peace, and I was actually physically healed, and I wasn't looking for physical healing. I had this terrible mold allergy, and he just healed me. And not only that, I could not wait to get a hold of Books on Prayer. And the moment I came home, I started buying every single book there was on prayer, you know, starting with Dutch Sheet, you know, like, what book do I need to read for prayer? Prayer, 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 prayer. I just could not wait to pray. I mean, I was like, just one touch from God, and I was like totally, radically changed. And, you know, I wish that I could say that I was like completely different person, but it was kind of slow coming. But my desire to pray was there. Like, my hunger just got set on fire. And from there on, my life has not been the same. And it wasn't a smooth transition. My husband could tell you that. But, you know, this is not his time to tell about it. Someday he will be able to share this testimony. But, you know, I was pretty, pretty rough person. And, you know, as Shindy has taught about, you know, redemptive gifts, I'm a prophet, which means, like, you know, I'm radical and shifting and fast, hardcore, cannot stop me. I know what I'm doing. And, you know, there's nobody getting in my way. And, you know, I'm going to go, you know, hell, blood, fire. I'm there. You know, that's the kind of person I am. So I've been on a pursuit. And, you know, the thing is, my worst fear in my life was public humiliation. And that's how I got to speak English. I mean, truly, honestly, I was an English major and I didn't speak a word of English until I was junior in college. And I was faced with, oh my gosh, I don't think I'm going to ever get married because I don't think I want to marry a Korean. And that was like, so what am I going to do? I think I'm going to be a missionary. Then maybe, or I need to make money. Then maybe I need to speak English. Maybe I do need to learn to speak English. I mean, that's how it was. I mean, I knew the alphabet. I could read and write, but, you know, I really didn't speak a word of English. I could not understand a word of English. I couldn't speak a word of English. And I was totally terrified of being publicly humiliated. And so to avoid the humiliation, I went into deep, deep studying for 6 months. I studied for 6 months, like just night and day, day and night. If I wasn't sleeping, I was studying. I studied 14, 15 hours a day. And after 6 months, light bulb came on and I could speak English. But not fluently like the way I do, but I could just pretty much conjugate anything, say anything I wanted to say. It's just, you know, looking up a few words. So why am I sharing all this? You know, people say, you know, if I've been a Christian for 50 years, I think I know a thing or two. Your history in Christianity, sitting in the church pew, has nothing to do with the depths of your spirituality. Just like you could be married for 50 years and you could have very, very, very bad marriage. Or you could be married just for a year and have blissful marriage. You know, it's just, I think that our relationship with God is kind of like a marriage, you know, and daily you could have this like blissful moment and, you know, rejoicing and just sweet moments and create that experience. So why am I starting with this? Because I feel like, you know, I think that I needed to personalize it a little bit. You know, I had all these agendas and, you know, I have all these notes. I have like 20 pages of notes. But at the end of the day, prayer is all about relationship. And I want to share a few quotes that, you know, from the famous people we think that know how to pray. Like, let's see. This is my favorite, Graham Cook, you know, Cindy's favorite. I love this guy. I mean, he's just hilarious and fun. And I'm like, where was he when I was growing up? Why was he not there to explain things to me? Then it would have been so much easier. But I think that made me desperate because, you know, I was already like 40-something by the time I discovered who God really is. So he says, prayer is about finding out what God wants to do, and then you ask him to do it. That's it. I mean, it's pretty simple, you know? So, I mean, as simple as it is, it could be a little, you know, puzzling and kind of, you know, mystic, I don't know. And because a lot of times, you know, I used to do a Bible study in my school. And, you know, we have a group of ladies who came, and then I would just ask them, you know, would you like to close in prayer? And especially, you know, like, I don't want to pick any kind of denomination, but like Catholic women would be like, oh, no, I don't know how to pray. I can't pray in public. No, I can't do it. So it just seems like, you know, it doesn't come like a breathing, although it should be like a breathing, you know, like if you live without breathing, you can't live. And without prayer, you can't really have a life in Christ. But it's just not, you know, taken for, you know, it's not that easy. It doesn't come that easy. And somehow, you know, there's just some things that you have to kind of do, establish to be able to really enter into a life of prayer. You can do it like me, you know, just blood, hell, and fire, and you just go through and dive in. That's just one way to do it, but, you know, I think there's a much simpler way. And there's a few quotes from the Bible. Mark 11, 24 through 25, it says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. How exciting is that? I mean, you get to ask God whatever you want, and God says, bam, you have it. Of course, you know, it's not exactly how it is. There's a context to that. And which means you have to have faith, though. Because if you can ask something, and, you know, I said, I've been praying about this forever. And, you know, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. Now you just canceled it, right? Because, you know, it's showing your double-mindedness. So you have to be able to have this single-mindedness. And I think that's where faith like a child coming in. And John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So there, you know, you can ask for whatever you desire, but the condition is that you have to abide and you have to pray according to the word, which is pretty easy. I mean, everybody has Bibles. I mean, I think I own at least like 5 or 6 copies of the Bible, not including all the electronic versions. There's Bible everywhere. You can Google anything and everything. There's just so many resources. And, you know, I truly believe that it's not the lack of resources that we don't pray the word. It's because sometimes that we don't really feel a need because we live in a such a comfortable society. And you know how the Bible talks about, you know, you think that you're rich, but you're poor and you're naked. And sometimes you have to feel like this pressure and where you enter into the place of prayer. Like, you know, countries like China where they have underground churches and they don't have the Bible. And, you know, Bible is like the most precious thing. And, you know, they are just like overjoyed for one copy of the Bible kind of thing. So, you know, I think that place of hunger, place of need, that's what's really necessary. I mean, all this is great. And then John 5, 14 through 15, it talks about, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So his will, and it's really easy said and done. His will, what's his will? His will. But, you know, if you go out there and say, what's God's will? And, you know, there's his perfect will, but then what's God's will for my life? You know, and a lot of times people will say to you, I don't really know. I don't really know what's God's will for me. Like, you know, do I take this job or take that job? You know, I have a lot of friends who would call me and pray for me because I have these like 3 positions. I don't know which one that I'm supposed to say yes to. I don't know what his will is. And I'm going to touch on, you know, how to discover his will. So I think that that's a big deal to know his will. And then fourthly, it's John 14, 13 through 14. It says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. So is it like a magical thing? In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Then can it be magically just be done? I mean, like I read this while I was researching. This was kind of funny, but not funny. And I was kind of sad. This woman wrote like a question saying, okay, so I've been praying in Jesus' name. Why is it not happening? I did in Jesus' name. Why is it not happening? So, you know, I did a little bit more research about, in Jesus' name, what that really means. And it talks about in his character, like in Hebrew context, in his character and his likeness. So in like manner and in his, because who Jesus was, and Jesus had a relationship with the Father, and he was absolutely sure about what God wanted to do, and he saw what the Father was doing, and then he asked according to his will, and he always prayed for the kingdom, not for his needs. So obviously, there's more to it than in Jesus' name. You know, it's not a charm that you throw, or, you know, like Deborah, Kadabra kind of thing. You know, it's not one of those superstitious things, but it is, you know, really becoming like Christ. So I am absolutely convinced that prayer is not really about the words that you speak, although that's part of it, but it is who you are really truly becoming. And, you know, without becoming like Jesus, because at the end of the day, our goal is to be like Jesus. I mean, that's everyone's goal. I mean, I hope that that is your goal, you know, not to have 1,000 cattle on a hill because the Father has it, but because we want to be like Jesus and we want to live like Jesus. We want to impact the world like Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And that's why we are here and we're learning on this Wednesday night, really, really hungry. And, you know, with all the oppositions, obviously there is something big going on in town because you guys are the chosen ones to be here. And I'm super excited that you're here and sharing this with me, because, you know, I am preaching to the choir, but this will be a really refreshing thing. So I think that it's awesome that you're here and that you really desire God to increase in his knowledge, even the things that you already know in your heart. But, you know, like God is bringing that freshness and, you know, rejuvenation in the things. And, you know, these things are all done through revelation. We can read the words over and over and over and over again, but you may never realize anything unless God reveals it to you, right? So I want to just go over, you know, the way Jesus taught his disciples to pray. I mean, if you notice in the Bible, Jesus didn't teach his disciples to do how to do anything other than this is how you should pray. And then he taught his disciples to pray because, you know, he just demonstrated and they just kind of followed. But when it comes to prayer, obviously there's guidelines and there's protocols and there's the things that you must know and, you know, you must follow. Anyway, so first it goes into Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Our Father in heaven. And it, in this simplicity, he Father comes before our in Greek language. So Father, Father, Daddy, you know, Father. Obviously, we are to approach him in relationship, meaning as our Father. You know, fathers always want to do things for you. They love you, and there's a love relationship. There's a support. There's just so much to being in that relationship with the Father. And in also, it says our Father, not just my daddy, but our Father. So we are in the family. You know, I have tons of brothers and sisters. An entire Christian population, believers, are my brother and my sisters. And so we are in relationship not only with the Father, but with each other. So like you guys are my brothers and sisters. And, you know, we have such a big family. And in heaven indicates that, you know, he is in heaven. So therefore, our citizenship is in heaven. And we say that so flippantly, but how many times or do we really realize what that truly means? You know, we are, my husband was in the military, so we travel all over. And of course, you know, I was a Korean citizen first, and then, you know, I got to become a U.S. citizen really, really quick because, you know, he was stationed overseas more than 18 months when we got married. So I flew to Hawaii, and, you know, like I took a test, and I became a citizen all of a sudden. So I have not really changed, but my citizenship has changed, and my life really drastically changed. You know, I could apply for jobs that I couldn't apply for, and I could petition my sister to immigrate to the United States. Unless you're a U.S. citizen, you can't do that, by the way. And so, you know, I petitioned for my sister to come many years later. I mean, you know, America is not like Kingdom of God. You had to, you know, my sister had to wait 15 years. But nonetheless, the entire family was able to immigrate. So because heavenly citizens, and we have privileges, we have rights, we have all these things, and so that we can bring kingdom to people, and we can bring people to kingdom. And we have all these like rights, and we have privileges, and we take this so lightly, but we're the only ones we can do, you know, the only ones who can do that, not anyone else. And so this is like a huge responsibility and a huge transaction. And also, let's see, now moving down to kingdom, your kingdom come. So what is kingdom? I mean, you know, the reason when I came to this church for the first time, Papa Jack was here preaching, you know, the reason I was here was because it was respond to my prayer, because I said, please take us to church, because I feel like this is season that I'm supposed to serve, and we're in a different season. You know, we're older, and Hannah's out of school, and, you know, she's out of our house. And, you know, I've been going to mega churches like Cornerstone and, you know, just big churches. And so I really didn't have a place where I could really fit in to serve. You know, I could just sit there and enjoy, but I felt like God was really taking us to a place where we can serve and, you know, serve the body. So when I came here, I was like, he was talking about kingdom. I'm like, oh, I'm sold. Kingdom. Yes, that's what it is. I mean, I don't know. I think I knew it, but I just didn't connect. So I really, really, really wanted to learn more about the kingdom. And so do we have a full grasp and knowledge about kingdom? And, you know, this, it's really all about kingdom. And, you know, I think kingdom is such a huge piece when it comes to prayer. And so in that context, you know, we are to pray for his kingdom first, not our agendas, but his kingdom. But how does kingdom come on earth? It has come into our heart first. And so you have to look into your heart and say, you know, who's on the throne in my heart? Is Jesus really on my throne? And, you know, there's a time that I was obsessed with my daughter. I don't know if you're a parent, you're obsessed with your children. But when you only have one and you're Korean and, you know, your child is like going through a lot of stuff, then, you know, I was obsessed. I was thinking about her all the time. At that time, I don't know that Jesus was on the throne. I think that I had some idols popped up there. You know, Jesus was there, like I went to him, but, you know, she was an idol. So, like, we have to knock down all our idols. If Jesus was coming to my house physically, I would be like hiring like tons of crew cleaning my house physically. So is my heart pure and clean? Am I holy? Because God says, you are to be holy because I am holy. Are we holy? What does it mean to be holy? I mean, are we talking about not smoking, not drinking? That's part of that. But are we really holy? Like no negative emotions? And are we full of love? You know, are we really choosing the right thing every single moment? You know, so you have to really like examine. So we can't really go into all of that in the kingdom. But if you really want to study about the kingdom of God, Jesus taught about kingdom of God before his ascension. And he talked about it for 40 days before he, you know, ascended. And so the disciples who were there during that time learned a lot about kingdom, although Jesus didn't really write about it after that. If you go to 1st and 2nd Peter, and also James and Jude, and, you know, of course, Paul's teaching talks a lot about kingdom of God, especially in Romans 12. So you can go there and study about that, but it really truly addresses our heart's condition and, you know, all of those things. So you can truly learn about that. But there are a lot of keys, and there's, you know, lifestyles, and there's, you know, attitudes, and it's just so much more, which we cannot cover right now. Anyway, and hallowed be your name. Hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? That we have to approach him as king. And, you know, because we live in this democratic society, we're constantly, I mean, you see people, you know, just like throwing all these curses and hexes toward our president. And, you know, they have no regard for anybody in authority. I don't mean to be negative, but this is current reality, which really saddens our heart. And really, in our culture, we don't know what it is to truly honor, you know, like truly honor someone with the fear and trembling. So when you read Old Testament, like, I don't know if we really have a grit for that, you know, but we have to really lay hold of what it is to truly fear the king, you know, and have that attitude, like reverent fear. And God really talks a lot about fear of the Lord. And fear of the Lord is not being scared, but truly honoring in our attitude. Like, you know, he's like right here, right before me. And, you know, we become so careful, not because we're scared, but because we just honor him so much. And, you know, honor is something that is so important in the kingdom of God. But especially when it comes to, you know, just coming before the Lord. And your kingdom come, of course. Kingdom is just wherever king resides. That's basically what kingdom is. And, you know, we get to pray, your kingdom come. So if you see kingdom is not in someone's life, we can pray, your kingdom come to, you know, whoever's life, you know, Joey's life, or, you know, your children's life or your school, especially public schools, His kingdom needs to come to public school and, you know, our workplaces, you know, in your marriage, in your family, and whatever it is. And so I want to go to this Matthew 6:33. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I mean, we know that. We know this scripture. So, you know, but it's so easy to think about me, 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 me. You know, what about me? What about me? What's in it for me? And this society, and, you know, I really love Jim Banks' teaching on, you know, divorcing from the mentality of the society that we live in. You know, just cutting ourselves off of it and freeing ourselves from that mentality and the mindset. Because it really has infiltrated churches and, you know, Christians and their lives. And we have to say, you know, we want kingdom first. And we want your will first. You know, not my will, but your will. And all of those things are so important, but we forget. You know, the moment we go into prayer, it's like, oh, you know, I'm sick and I don't feel good and this and that and the other. Not that those things are not important, but are we truly putting His kingdom, His will before our needs? And, you know, I cannot say that I have always done that. And it's really something fresh. You know, although I really, truly consider prayer to be so important in my life, am I always doing that? Am I always walking in that? And so that's something to think about. And let's talk about will of God. It's because it's such a topic a lot of people really struggle with. You know, what is the will of God for my life? Of course, there are three different kinds of wills, and I'm not going to go into all of that because you can Google it, and there's like beautiful things that's written. But Romans 12, it talks about, I beseech you, therefore. So why is it there? Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there is transition here. First, you have to give your body as a living sacrifice. And I think all of you here, you know, you are an exception, but you have to look at the world. Like, you know, I work at a school, elementary school. You know, elementary school used to be like, if you're not married, you could not be a teacher. Like, you can't really shack up with somebody. But now, we do love everyone. However, now with people who are in, you know, homosexual lifestyles or people who live and, you know, have five children, but they're never married or, you know, they have like different lifestyles going on and they're all accepted. Because it's not no longer, hindrance for them to teach in an elementary school because it's so accepted. So when you think about that, you know, sexual immorality is something that's not really looked upon as something that's not acceptable. And, you know, people who come to church, they're living together and they're in church together. And, you know, because, you know, like we're like, you know, a couple, we're going to get married like someday. So it's perfectly okay because we love each other. Love is love. I mean, how many times do you hear that? But until you can give yourself as a living sacrifice, you know, just say, God, do whatever you wish to do with my body. And, you know, there was a time, first thing that God has done with my life after I had a radical encounter with God, I stopped watching TV altogether. It's like, I'm not saying you have to do that. But that is what he did with me. I used to watch Sex and the City. I'm sorry, but I did. I thought it was funny. And, you know, I just had no problem with it. I was like, oh, that's so funny. I mean, there's humor in that. And there's enjoyment in sin lifestyle. You know, but he was like, that's not acceptable. I'm like, okay. You know, I gave that up. And I just stopped. To me, it's like watching the news is even kind of, because I'm so sensitive, I just stopped watching the news. And I don't watch any mainstream media. To me, that was a living sacrifice, but I'm not saying that's you. Personally, you have to ask the Lord, like, what is hindering? And, you know, what is my sensitivity level? And, you know, when you can truly say, God, do whatever it is that you want me to do, whatever you desire for me to do as in my body, whether it's eating, or drinking, smoking, whatever it is, then, you know, ask the Lord. Because, you know, sometimes we don't know because we didn't ask the Lord. And if you ask the Lord, He's going to tell you. And, of course, in talking about renewing our mind, you know, unless you have renewed mind, you can't really understand the Bible or truly know the will of God. Because, you know, how can you understand spiritual things unless you have spiritual mind? Because it sounds like foolishness, you know? So it's not to say that, you know, renewing mind is a progress. Of course, you're not going to have your mind totally renewed like overnight, just like that, just like the Rome was not built overnight. And while we're being renewed and transformed, as long as we stay in the process, and God is going to do work. And as much as, you know, one thing that God has talked to me about, because, you know, I have this quirky mind, I always want to understand what's going on, and like these weird phrases. And I think it came from, you know, being a second language person. Like, you know, I made a habit of always asking, okay, like, I hear this word all the time. What is that? And then people will explain to me. And sometimes they will say, I really don't know, but I just say this. And then I'll just Google it and, you know, I'll look it up. So to me, it was like, so God, what is the difference between brainwashing and mind renewing? I was asking one day, and then the Lord told me that brainwashing is something that top of the organization does to you without your, you know, participation at all. They don't care if you want to or not, but they just make you do it, kind of like a communist organization or some sort of occult religion. But mind renewing is God makes everything available for you, but He gives you an invitation to come and wash your mind with the Word of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then so you have to participate. And everything He does, He just gives you an invitation. It's like He's such a gentleman. He's such a good father. He doesn't say, it's mandatory. Mandatory fun. You have to be here. You have to do this. Otherwise, out, off with your head. He doesn't do that with us, which is so amazing. But I kind of wish that He did, because I think that, you know, then I would have been so much faster, you know? I mean, wouldn't that be just nice? I don't know. You know, maybe I would have been rebellious. I have no idea. But, you know, I'm not God, and He is. And I'm sure He knows what He's doing. And I'm just going to trust that. So, you know, I had these afflictions. And going back to praying the will of God, while I was confused and I had such desire to pray, but I did not know what I was doing at all, I decided that, okay, you know what? I need some help. Number one, English is not my first language. Second of all, I never prayed in public. And third of all, I have no idea what I'm doing. So I started searching, and I started with all these prayer books that is scriptural. So if you look for it, like Stormy Martian has so many different books, you know, it's like prayer for mothers, wives, you name it. If you have a role, then she has prayers for you. It's every single occasion. Jermaine Copeland was another one. I have these like huge, thick books and scripture prayers. And then, you know, of course, Cindy recommended this one. I really love this, the Sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And, you know, the other thing is now they have apps, you know, the free app that says biblical promises, Bible promises. So if you're struggling with anxiety, it'll pop up for you. And sometimes my phone like does it all by yourself. I don't know. I think it's like a magical, you know, Holy Spirit-led phone. One day I was thinking about something, and the scripture popped up and exactly what I needed to hear. I'm like, God, you work on my phone? Thank you. There's just so many tools out there. You know, you can Google a scripture. I mean, like, sometimes it's like a lazy person's dream, y'all. Like, you know, every single night I go, okay, this is how I truly seek the will of God, and you guys are going to laugh, and it's okay with me, because you know what? God is a personal God. He knows how to work everybody. Okay, so I decided that, okay, like, I don't have a whole lot of time to commune with you, but I know that Spirit is awake while I'm sleeping. So I'm going to just, like, have radical encounter with you while I'm sleeping. You tell me everything I need to know, and I'll wake up knowing what it is that you want me to know. And when I go into prayer, I want to know what it is that you want me to know when you want me to pray. So God, I release everything to you, and I'm going to not worry about anything. I cancel everybody. I forgive everybody, and I want to hear you, and I want to remember what you say to me, and, you know, give me specific scriptures and words that I need to pray. And I go to bed like that. And then ever since I wake up, and I have, like, download. And, you know, I'm writing. If my cat would not eat my pen, I could write a lot faster. He's like, he's trying to eat my pen. I'm like, stop it. And then I'm trying to write. And, you know, sometimes he would only, like, give me addresses of scriptures, like 22:14. I'm like, 22:14, like, it would be nice if you give me what book. And then you would Google that. And then, you know, the phone will give you all the books, too. And then I'm like, oh, this is it. Like, you know, my spirit jumps. So it's like a partnership, scavenger hunt. Although I really don't enjoy that very much, you would never see me paying money to go to a maze or scavenger hunt. Trust me, that is not my kind of thing. But when it comes to God, you know, I think I can have fun because, you know, it's a gold and it's wisdom, it's nuggets. And, you know, I appreciate God doing that. So, you know, God is so personal, and I'm just giving you my examples. It's comical and funny, but I think that he has a personal thing for you. And, you know, what truly is that you have to ask and say, hey, what is it that you want to say to me? What is the will of God for me? And even if you haven't been completely renewed your mind, you know, God has grace for you, and he's going to tell you, okay, so I'll have to tell you my journey. Okay, so even though, let's see, this was before I had an encounter with God, and this was pretty critical time in my life. I was in nursing school. I was actually in a nurse practitioner's program, and my daughter was only like 6 months old. And, you know, I was in such intense time of my life. I was working, and I was going to school, and I was trying to raise Hannah, and I weighed like 95 pounds because I didn't have enough time to eat. And I was like, and then I was thinking, one day I woke up and said, why am I doing this? Is this what I want to do? Do I really want to do this? I don't know, you know, because, and then after I found out that nurse practitioners, after studying gazillion years, you can make less money than PA. And I'm like, I don't think that's what I want to do. And then they said that I needed to go to some poor area and serve. And I was like, no, I did not sign up for that. I want private school and I want kimchi. No, I'm not going there. So, but, you know, this was a pretty hard program to get into. It was only $500 a semester for, you know, post-master's program. I was like, I moved to San Antonio for this. Do I really give up? So I was like afflicted by, you know, what I really needed to do. And of course, you know, I asked my husband, he's like, I don't know, do what you want. You know, very supportive, right? I'm not bashing him, but, you know, he wants to support me. He said, do what you want. And I'm like, no, I don't know what I want. So I remember this was, I was at Alamo City Christian Church. So I went up to the altar. This was the first time I went up to the altar, and I said, can you pray for me? And then this woman so sweetly prayed for me. And then I came back. I still really didn't completely figure it out what it was. And so I decided that, okay, let me just give it a little more time. And then I went to a school nurse rotation. And then I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. This is perfect. I don't really care about the money. This is just sounds like fun. So that's what I have decided to do. And I've been doing this for like over almost 20 years. And I really, really enjoy that. So, you know, after I had an encounter with God, and, you know, I was given an opportunity to work at Fort Sam Houston Elementary. And that's kind of a weird thing. I was not looking for a job. And I wasn't even looking for a job for me. Mike had an really opportunity, like he will share this testimony for you, so I'm not going to spoil it. But, you know, it was just kind of a tumultuous time of our life because, you know, he lost his job and I was looking for a job for him. And then I was looking at Fort Sam Houston Elementary and I saw that nurse position was open at the beginning of the year. That's really odd. You know, it was like September. And so I thought, oh my gosh, I always wanted to work in military district. Not knowing any details, I was kind of drawn to it immediately. And then I thought, I started filling out the application. I'm like, I have a job. I don't even know. I think I'm in a contract. I don't think I can even leave the contract, I started thinking, right? So I put my name and my phone number, and I stopped applying for it, right? And then I got a phone call from the district saying, hey, you know, would you like to come for an interview? I'm like, you do notice that I did not finish my application. They're like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. You know, can you finish it and come? I'm like, these people are really desperate. And so I could feel the desperation. And, you know, like nurses love desperation. Like you just want to go, like help them, you know, and that's why you're a nurse. So I was like, oh my gosh, the poor people, they really need a nurse. And I have to tell you, I was at a school that was most optimal, and I have worked my way toward this school. This was only 5 minutes away from my house, and this was the premium school in Northeast District, Huebner Elementary. And, you know, these people, like, they're mostly parents were lawyers and doctors and they're Jewish people, and they treated me like family, you know. Every birthday, I had, like, so many gifts and, you know, flowers, and, you know, kids came and gave me hugs, and, you know, every day I was a celebrity. I mean, you know, you just can't beat that with a stick. And I'm like, oh, like I had a little, you know, like stirring in my heart, you know. And my district superintendent was kind of, I could think of a lot of words, but I'm going to be respectful. But anyway, he was kind of out for himself. So I just lost kind of my taste for the district. So I was kind of, you know, wondering that I should leave the district and do something else. And when I read their, like, mission statement at Fort Sam, I was just drawn. And, you know, because my husband's military, I was, like, drawn. But I didn't really, you know, really realize what I was signing up for either. So I said, oh, God, I think they need me. So when I show up, you show me, and you just touch my heart, and, you know, and clearly make it clear for me so that, you know, I can make a decision. And I show up, and interview goes great, and they just love me. And I could tell, like, they are so desperate. And then I said, okay, so, and then the principal asked me, like, are you in a contract? And it turns out, like, Northeast is the only district that they do not, all the nurses do not have contract because we're professionals rather than in a teacher contract. So I was able to leave that and they came. But, you know, when I found out the salary, it was $5,000 less than what I would be making. I'm like, my husband doesn't have a job. I can't really, you know, go to your district and lose all my sick leave and then for $5,000 less. I'm not sure if that's God's will for me. I said, this is not God's will. I said, and I said to the superintendent, you know, if you can match my salary, then I'll come. And so superintendent is like, I think we can do that for you. I'll work it out. I said, okay. So anyway, long story short, when I met the superintendent, she was just a woman of grace. And, you know, she just has such heart for children. I just wanted to work for her because no longer it was about money, although we needed money because Mike didn't have a job. And that's when my season began for, you know, really for the purpose rather than just the money or, you know, a buck or a job, but it was really truly for a mission. Like I wanted to start see God in everything that I did and I wanted to honor God. And so, you know, I prayed about that and I had such peace. And so I started transitioning without knowing how much I was going to make. And then it turns out that they gave me like $3,000 or $4,000 raise because they counted all my teaching experience. I used to be an English teacher, by the way. So it was like, you know, home tutoring business, but they didn't care. So they gave me all of that. So I started out like, you know, 25-year teacher salary. And that was like pretty awesome. I mean, it's amazing. And it has turned out to be, I thought I was doing it for them, but it turns out that, you know, he just made so many provisions through this district. And, you know, until this day, I mean, they have been so gracious to me. And, you know, and Mike did not get a job in this district, by the way, but, you know, he has something else for him. So, you know, I began to learn through experience. So if you are willing to, like, put yourself out there and ask God, show me, then he's going to show you all of that. And, you know, he is going to partner with you. He's going to show you every single step. And he's just so good like that. It's just amazing. Okay, so all of that is great. And, you know, I think the rest of the prayer is pretty much self-explanatory. You know, talking about give us our daily bread, dependence on God, you know, and we need freshness every single day. We need fresh word and fresh provision every single day. And one thing I want to say about forgive us our debt. And, you know, God spoke to me one day clearly. You're not free until you free everyone else. That's how you get to be free. You free someone and everyone out of your life, then you're free indeed. So you have to free every single one. Cancel everyone's debt. Then you're debt free. So, you know, for whatever it's worth, I want you to take that. So I want to just briefly touch on intercession. And then fasting, because I'm really hungry. And so I want to make it of something. So intercession, you know, whenever you say, what's the intercessory prayer? And, you know, people are like, oh, I don't think I can join that team because it's like long and laborious and, you know, like trembling and travailing. You know, I don't even know what travailing means, really. You know, I'm like, You know, I've never seen that, and I read books on that. I bought the Reese Howe's book because somebody was talking about that, but I haven't read it yet because I'm afraid to read that. So I haven't done that. That's on my agenda during the summer. I bought it 2 years ago. I still haven't opened it yet. Anyway, so, you know, I listened to this message by Robert Morris, and he was talking about, you know, intercession is really not what you say, you know, like this long, arduous thing, but it is like an action. And this is, obviously, he's a guy, you know, man of action. It's basically, you know, transferring the debt or burden that you have in your heart and just taking it to God and leaving it there. So, you know, the ones who need to intercede is the ones who have burden for something. And you know what? I have to honestly say, I was such a selfish person a long time ago. I didn't have burden for anybody else other than myself. Me, myself, and alone, our family, maybe. That's the only thing I had a burden for. But now, you know, as my mind is being renewed and recognizing that we are in a family together, and then it's about Father's business and blessing business, I'm beginning to become more in tune with other people's needs. And then I begin to have burden. Because I have to tell you, like, you know, when I was in nursing school, I diagnosed myself as like a sociopath. I had no regard for anyone else. I was pretty much the selfishest person on planet Earth. I mean, you know, I make a confession. You know, you don't need to be ashamed of yourself, because if you're not that person anymore, then you can say it boldly and without any feeling condemnation. You know, in the seventh year of our marriage, I was so selfish. And my husband got an assignment to Korea, and I began to say, okay, I just finished nursing school, and he's going to go to Korea. I'm not going to have a job. I wanted to be a nurse practitioner. I can sign up for this. Maybe I should divorce my husband. I was so there. Seriously, I was that selfish. And then I said, okay, there is a God in this universe, and if I did that, my life is not going to go well. Okay, maybe I should just put a stop to that. And that's how I did not go there. I am serious. This is my true confession. And you look at me like, how can you be that person? I was. I truly was. And because my heart was so toxic like stone, but because I obeyed God, God gave me a child. And through childbirth, I experienced so much love. And you know, it's really, you know, if you are such a loving person, don't worry. There's more for you. You're going to become so much more loving. You're going to be wooey, gooey out of love. And you know, person that who I was so stony, cold person. And, you know, people would say to me, you are so loving. I'm like, you don't know where I was. And thank God for that. So, intercession is for everyone. And you know, God has made it very clear in the scripture, pray for all men. You know, we know all about 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And that's why we are doing that Esther fast, right? And because this is like, you know, times like Esther right now, you know, they are after not only our president and the cabinet, but they are after our nation and the people of God, because, you know, we are, and then also Jewish people. So this is time that we need to truly humble ourselves. And if you cannot have a burden for anything, then you can have a burden for our country and the people in it, you know, for ourselves and as well as Jewish people. Because truly, we are in that time, and there's just so many similarities. So, you know, go on the website of The Call, and then you can read about it a little bit more. But, you know, God commands us to pray. He doesn't just say, you know, it's a good idea, but he says prayer. And, you know, clearly he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. He didn't say, you might want to pray. You might consider praying. He said, pray in all occasion. And all kinds of prayers, request, and be alert, and praying all the time, all the time, all the time. So we have to remain in the attitude of prayer. And you know, talking about kingdom, one thing that the scripture that just popped up is, if you set the Lord before your eyes, you will not be shaken. Okay, I'm paraphrasing. You will not be shaken. He has given us unshakable kingdom. And how do we not shake? Because the Lord is before our eyes. And as long as we gaze upon our Lord and continue to look at the Lord. And, you know, while Pastor was preaching on Sunday, he was talking about, you know, all of those things. And I started looking at, like, you know, the lighthouse that we're looking at and while we are lost in sea. And you have to look at the lighthouse. Otherwise, you get lost so easily. And then you just gaze upon it and you continue to go toward it and you will be found. And then you will be saved, even if you're lost in a, you know, raft or something. So, you know, this is just... Intercession is not really truly an option, but we must do it as people of God. You know, it's a command. And so I want to talk about fasting very briefly, because this is not something that we really practice in modern times as much. You know, in Korea, okay, I'm telling you, my dad was fasting all the time. I mean, pretty much he was fasting. He loved food. He was really pretty hefty, but every time he fasted for 39 days, he would lose 100 pounds. And, you know, he would be like a different person. And then, you know, he'd gain it and lose it, gain it and lose it. But because of his lifestyle, and we have seen so many miracles, so many testimonies in the biblical times. I mean, Nineveh, think about Nineveh. They were evil nations, and God was going to wipe them out. And they went into fasting. God poured his grace upon them, and they were saved. Think about how God is going to pour out his grace upon us. Because in the context of humbling always came with the fasting, because that's how you humble, you afflict your soul. And not only we gain the benefit of God's mercy upon our nation as a body of Christ, but also there's a personal benefits. Okay, so because I'm like, you know, high controller, you know, kind of type of person, you know, prophet, you know, I had a tendency to nag at my husband, you know, always kind of, you know, tell him what to do, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, I was kind of like that. And that was the last thing that I was dealing with. And it was very difficult. And because first thing God told me was like, no more strife. And that was like the first thing. And it was very hard for me to overcome that. And, you know, we were not having knocked out, dragged out fight. But, you know, whatever. Like, no, 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 no. And our daughter would be like, oh, stop, 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 people, you know, something like that. So I really wanted that to completely, you know, away from our family. So as I was fasting, Lord, like, just gave me that strength and, you know, completely in self, you know, self-control. And so, of course, I realized I'm a human and I need to continue to remain in that attitude of prayer. So there is a personal benefit in your spiritual life, as well as, you know, God's mercy and grace upon us as we humble ourselves. And also for the purpose of pouring out his Holy Spirit upon all flesh. In that scripture, if you go to, you know, all flesh, it says, okay, I'm going to go there, Joel 2:28. And then it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Afterward. So beforeward, what was happening is that they were gather the people, sanctify the congregation. Sanctifying always meant there was fasting involved. And so when you do that, we humble ourselves. God is going to pour out. Has it happened yet? No, because not all flesh is filled with the Holy Spirit. And for him to do that, we need to really humble ourselves, meaning going into fasting and prayer. And you know, as a nurse, I have to say to you, there is a physical benefit of fasting. When you fast, it actually removes toxin, and it's a way, and it's like a body's reset system. So actually fasting is beneficial for your body. And you know, a lot of times our society is so food-driven society, people think that, you know, starving is bad, you go into starvation mode. Not necessarily true. As you fast, you gain benefits, and certain diseases will go away from your body. And you can actually heal your type 2 diabetes through intermittent fasting. And that's absolutely true. You can read journals about this. And so, you know, type 2 diabetes actually came on because of, you know, overeating and, you know, partially from, you know, overweight condition. So, you know, fasting will cure it. It's just like God, isn't it? So, you know, you can physically heal your body as well as, you know, spiritually be healed and healing, bringing healing to our nation. And so that truly is, you know, essence of what I wanted to really share. But since I have a few more minutes, do I have a few more minutes? 5 more minutes. Briefly, what I want to touch is like, whose prayer? Whose prayer does God answer? Because I think this is kind of key. But, you know, God didn't say, I will answer your prayer if you pray this prayer, if you say these words. He didn't. He never said that. Whose prayer? Who are you? What kind of person are you? That is the essence of your answer to prayer. And so who involves what you do and how you do? And so it says, if you keep his commandments. And a lot of times, you know, we talk about striving. Oh, you know, I'm going to just rest in the Lord. And, you know, obviously resting is so important. But striving means you do something without God. You just try to do it alone. But when you partner with God, that's resting. Resting requires work, okay? Because we are kingdom citizens. Therefore, kingdom needs to operate, and we are in the kingdom business. Business means work. I mean, like, you don't go to work and expect to just stand there or lie there and rest and not do anything. They expect you to work so that you generate income. And same thing, when you're in kingdom business, you are expected to show up and follow and take assignments and take your position and do your work. And that is what God expects us to do, and that is maturity. And I'm preaching to the choir. But, you know, I just pray that this will be, you know, something that revelatory for the body of Christ. Because, you know, I realize a lot of times, like, oh, I just want to feed on the feast. But somebody has to do the work. And the other one is those who abide in Christ, obviously. You know, that's already talked about. And then the ones who fear him. And we talked about fear. Because, you know, God talks about Psalm 114, 18 through 19. God will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. And without fear, then you become so lackadaisical. And then you treat God like, you know, anybody on the street. And so, really, we truly need to fear God. And this other thing is in context of marriage. And I think it goes beyond the marriage. You know, the scripture about husband, the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, treat them with respect, and blah, 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 and goes down so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So if you're in strife with your wife, and if you're in strife, and same goes for wives, if you are strifing with your husband, and if you actually have any strife with anybody, anywhere, then, you know, your heart's condition is not going to be like receiving from the Lord. So strife is number one. You know, there was a scripture about where strife is where all evil spawns out of there. It's like that toxic cesspool where all this toxicity of sin and evil, like, you know, just grows there. Like, it's just a word picture that is just kind of gross. And then also, if you're righteous. And, you know, righteous, what does that mean? Yes, we are in right standing, but also you have to do the right thing. You know, feed the hungry and do not shut your ears to the poor. And, you know, and it's nice to say, hey, you know, I'm sorry that you don't have anything to eat. Be well, be blessed. You know, that's not really putting your 2 cents into your faith, right? You need to go and feed the poor. So, and sometimes we have to demonstrate as kingdom citizens, we have to first bring kingdom in our lives and then in our marriage, in our family, in our church. So when we become truly kingdom church, the world will want to be like us and then go, wow, I can't find any fault with them. If I can't beat them, maybe I'll join them, you know? And after time, you know, we can't say, oh, that's not fair, that's not fair. And they say this, they say this. We cannot be like that because we have to know who our true enemy is and then say, you know, God, you know, we gaze upon you, and how do we truly become kingdom citizens? Where do I sign up? And just go there. So, bless you guys. Yes, let's pray. So, Father, I just thank you. You are such a good Father, and you truly love us, and you love us so much for us to just grow in the things of you. In the knowledge of you. So we just ask for a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the full knowledge of you. And may the eyes of our heart be enlightened in order to know the hope of your calling and the riches of glorious inheritance in the saints and incomparable greatness of your power toward us to believe. And Lord God, we just pray for your kingdom to come in every area of our lives, in our family, in our church, in our community, in our city, in our state, in our nation, and in the entire world. And your will be truly done. In Jesus' name, amen.